This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Let's see what we've got here. And hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
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 Yes.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Super. How are you?
Let me turn down my radio. I wanted to say, I just wanted to take a moment to say that I enjoyed the first part of your show, that it certainly does do justice to this is a celebration of women.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to one of your previous callers said when she said that the men rule the world, because it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the axiom that behind every strong man is a good woman, I would say whoever owns the Virgin is in charge. Hello.
Hello. Still here.
Yeah. And I think that Don Geronimo would be proud to hear me. Where's your crap detector now? See?
All right. Thank you. We've had enough. Bye.
All right.
Sorry, hello, you're in the air.
All right, that was uncalled for.
Yeah.
We can move forward.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe you could tell me what that thing was all about and suck.
Time to go. We have to. So what this is what should we say?
It's great.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yes.
I appreciate that comment. She makes me feel empowered to drop a big.
Whoopee!
All right.
That's unfortunate.
And
I think it should be noted that it's mostly men who are making these comments.
Oh, God. A triple hit.
Mostly men. It's mostly man. Wow.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Well, hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
You know what? I think that everybody is going to vomit due to boredom.
Welcome.
Oh, of course.
How are you doing, Joe?
Hi, Joe. He's our phone screener.
So you had sex with Joe?
No, I slept with Joe. He came over last night, and he's going to sleep on the couch, but then I invited him to my room to watch Men Don't Leave.
Well, congratulations. You've now been with your cousin, new Christine's father, and your ex-husband's brother. You're almost ready to start dating outside the family.
I like rape.
Hi, Joe.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, you got that one?
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
Right. Thank you.
What not?
Did you like that?
I didn't like it.
Uh-huh. How do you like to be treated?
He prefers to be treated like a dog. And also a toilet.
He's a jackass.
Here's the phone number.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck.
Here's Big Al.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Howdy, everybody. Hi, little brains. We're little brains just like you are. This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody. Ooh. Hey, Rob, God knows at one point we paid, I think, $48 for all of those real bad group shouts. And how often do we get to play that awful
special holiday?
It's Friday the 13th. It's not even a jingle.
No, it's kind of like the Halloween one.
It's an awful shout that we have. Here it is.
Merry Christmas.
No, that's not
the wrong one.
It's not it, you big tool.
It's Friday the 13th.
Hey. Ooh, scary kids. Scared kids.
Oh dear! Is it laboring in the machine now?
Is it dying?
Merry Christmas!
No, that one's nice.
That one's okay.
It's Friday the 13th.
Oh no! There you go. Perfect.
Different tone on that one.
You got the other one?
This is going to be really scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
was this one?
Happy Labor Day!
Oh, we've got them all.
Yeah, well, listen, when you've got them,
Merry Christmas.
You might as well use them, Mike.
You know, you've gotten your money's worth out of those.
$48.
It's Veterans Day.
There it is.
We bought them all.
Happy New Year.
Oh, that one's hurting. That's the overplayed one.
Happy Valentine's Day.
The New Year's one is the one that's been played by other DJs.
Let me hear that one again.
Happy New Year.
Yes, yeah,
you're
Happy
right. That's
New
got
Year.
It's got that little fried sound.
Yeah,
to it.
Yeah, that's a little crisp, that one.
Here you go. Here's the one they're going to work out today.
It's Friday the 13th.
Now, see, I love the tone of that. They dial it down a notch, yeah, and it's a little lower. I like it.
Scared kids.
Ooh, scary. Oh.
It's Friday the 13th.
This is going to be really scary.
Okay, so, let's see.
Here we are.
Hello.
Hi. You might remember, on yesterday's show,
previously. What the hell are you playing?
This is just
going to be. What sitcom is this the theme to?
This is the closing theme to Alice, and I figured it would be a good transition piece of music.
Very nice.
To get into the tough subjects of the day.
Yes.
Before we ease back into our normal jive.
Our normal patter?
Yeah.
It's Friday the 13th.
You know, I think it's really important to point out that Lavin herself did all the singing on that. I think that's a good thing.
She knows scat.
Lavin.
Hottest pink balls.
Linda Lavin.
When I think Linda Lavin.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
She's not as hot as Flo was.
Oh, Holly Holiday.
Baby. Right. She had the horseshoe on her ass. That's horseshoes right. on her ass. Right.
And Vera.
Ah, Vera.
I remember Vera.
And, of course, our man. VT.
Tayback. Yes. Tayback in the kitchen.
Victor. You know why they called her Flo?
Yeah.
Heavy,
I know.
Heavy Flo.
Everyone
mm-hmm.
knows.
Heavy Flo. Okay, here we go. Let's start the show. Yesterday we spent a lot of time yapping about the IMUS thing. Mm-hmm. We won't spend as much time yapping about it today. I promise you that. Pull the tape out, though, for me, Rob.
Okay.
I got one thing that I noticed about the IMUS tape, about the original thing that started the entire brouhaha. And then we do need to talk about the offer that we made yesterday mm-hmm. to do a show on our company, on a company radio station, on a CBS-owned radio station,
mm-hmm.
kind of a black and white thing. Yeah. And anyway, but they don't want to do it. So
right.
We'll get to that. Well, actually, I guess we should start there.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do
all right.
Before I play you the IMUS thing. So yesterday, kind of outlined, I thought it would be a great idea if you took our show, mm-hmm. a predominantly white show that does good in the ratings, mm-hmm. and you got a predominantly black show here in Washington, D.C., on our sister station, and if we had a real discussion about race, because
right.
the whole thing about this goddamn IMUS situation was all of the talking heads and everybody said the good thing that's going to come out of this is that we're going to start a discussion.
Right.
Well, the problem is now that the guy's been fired, mm-hmm. the discussion's over.
As was predicted by a lot of people. I mean, I think we, you know, we discussed the fact that this thing was going to go away very fast. And
yeah.
you had called it a roundtable, you know, where we would sit down, maybe take some phone calls on their air and on our air. Or, you know, the logistics hadn't even gotten to that point before
right.
this thing was, you know, was turned down. And, you know, I was kind of confused by it. I wasn't sure. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus.
Well, I'm just going to read you the email that we got from Michael Hughes. Who, incidentally, still is looking for his backbone. If anyone, if there's a little lost boy who's really missing his pet backbone.
He's slithering along. You can see him like a snail on the side of the road.
Anyway, yesterday at the end of the show, thank God my cell phone battery was almost dead. I really wasn't avoiding his call.
Right.
It's just when the cell phone battery starts flashing yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeller.
You know that you're down to maybe like one more call.
Emergency mm-hmm. calls only.
And when I saw that it was Michael Hughes, I figured, I don't want to waste my one emergency call on him.
Right. You might have some medical problem.
So waited until I got home, picked up his voicemail, and he was very positive about yesterday's show.
Good.
And said that he was real gung-ho on the idea of actually having a frank discussion about race and what a good time it would be. And that he was
That's a good thing.
That he was going to talk to the general manager of WPGC, the black station, the urban station, and that he was even going to try to get the El Zol station, the Latin station, get them involved in
sure.
it.
Okay.
You know, I was like, whatever, dude. He was real happy.
Couldn't hurt.
Then this morning, I got this email. Sam, that's the general manager uh-huh. of the black station,
okay.
WPGC,
Sam spoke with Donnie, that's Donnie Simpson, the morning guy, and Tigger, he's the afternoon guy.
Ah.
Sam spoke with Donnie and Tigger last night, and they both feel the issue has run its course and want to move on. I tried once more with another angle about not talking so much about the IMUS issue specifically, but the general issue of race and an honest, open discourse as to why this has become such a huge deal.
Good.
But they want to move on.
All right.
Too bad. I think it was a great idea.
Yeah.
So that's Hughes. I don't think he's throwing anybody under the bus. I think he's being honest. I'm disappointed.
You know, you wonder when you see something like that, you know, what, you know, and maybe I'll get a chance to, you know, see Donnie in the future and talk to him about it personally. I'd like to know, you know, I was wondering if it was something where, you know, maybe it had been done behind the scenes and, you know, we didn't have ownership of it because it was your idea. You know, you wonder, I mean, my mind's been racing since I got that email.
Why?
Just trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, what their motives were. And it is, the only thing I came to is it's kind of like if somebody had done something, you know, we're kind of like on the, we're on the side, not on the side, but we're on the white side of this issue, and, you know, he's the offending party.
Like we are on the white side of the issue, we're white.
And, you know, IMUS is, you know, the offending party in this case. And if the shoe was on the other foot, I'm not sure how you and I would react to something like that.
I
if it had been generated by another radio station.
I believe if the shoe was on the other foot, if it was someone, and we're not talking about just someone we don't know, we were talking specifically about our buddy Donnie Simpson, who was a close enough friend that he was at Frida's funeral. Not to bring that up, but that's the last time I saw him socially. We've known the guy over 25 years. Always been a very straight shooter with us. Thought he might be up for the idea. If not, the afternoon guy. Either way, they turned us down. I'm just going to throw this one out. There are a plenty of other black urban stations here in Washington, D.C. that dominate the ratings. There's a guy on WKYS, the morning guy. I've seen him on the local news. My God, he loves being interviewed about this topic. He seems like a good radio guy. His name is Russ Parr. Maybe he would like to do something. There's also a station, WMMJ. That's another big urban station. There's also a station, WHUR, 96.3. These are all stations here in D.C. where we broadcast from that have predominantly black audiences and huge audiences. I don't see why any of these stations lose if they accept our invitation to do a simulcast, or even if CBS won't allow us to do a simulcast, allow us to go on their airwaves and allow them to come on our airwaves so that, you know, we can really come to some understanding. Because the biggest,
because that's the best way to do it, is to open this thing up and talk about it.
The biggest crock of BS the whole last week and a half about this IMUS thing has been, this is what we need because this is what's going on behind the scenes in America. This is what nobody talks about. Now we'll get the open dialogue happening. Now we'll get the discourse happening. And it's like, okay, we're ready to talk about it. Well, no one wants to talk about it. I mean, no one wants to honestly, seriously talk about it.
Not yet. We, you know, we have the offer out there, and I think that maybe behind the scenes we'll be pursuing something like this, and hopefully it can happen.
So, you know,
because I'd like to really,
maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud here. Maybe it is a dumb radio thing, and I would think that that would be kind of beneath someone as great as Donnie Simpson is. I would think, because your standard radio guy, if you came to someone, even working in the company, but working at a different station or on a different show even, and you said, hey, let's get together and do something.
You know, and this is not...
The first thought might be, I don't want to be involved because it ain't my idea.
Well,
that's
the thing. And this is not to begrudge Donnie Simpson or anybody else. This is simply to say that perhaps if we had done this, you know, behind the scenes and presented it in a different way, it might have been, you know how radio people are. We're radio people too.
And, I don't care.
When things aren't authored by the radio guy himself, it's sometimes,
I don't care who takes ownership of it.
Right. Well, I mean, it's too late now. I mean, that's the thing.
I mean that to whoever else might want to take us up on our offer.
No, but I mean, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. And it's disappointing. Disappointing because,
I mean, these are just thoughts. These are random thoughts. I thought if we had, you know, when I heard that, I said, well, you know, maybe they, you know, maybe they do want to just move on with it. Maybe they don't want to deal with it. Maybe they've gotten that feedback from their listening audience.
What are we supposed to do? Just keep talking to the same 1 million white people every single day?
No.
Seriously, how do you broaden your horizons?
You can't.
If no one wants to play along.
Well, that's true. And I think it was a good idea, and I still think it's a good idea, yep. And I think it's something we can pursue. I'm just trying to wrap my head around how quickly, you know, this thing was shot down. And it was, it was frustrating when I read that today. I was very disappointed. I don't know, I'm not going to judge, you know, why it was shut down or what the motives were or anything. I can speculate, and I have some theories on it.
Oh, I could even go beyond the first one that I was grabbing onto that you had that maybe was a DJ thing. Hell, maybe it's a management thing. You know, maybe they all go, oh, my God, the last thing we want to do is get involved in a discussion about race with those two idiots. You know, the last thing we want is to have those two morons on our radio station.
And, you know, you might consider that the company right now is a little bit edgy,
nervous,
is a little bit jumpy with everything that's going on. And,
and even that regard, you know, Rob told me after the fact that before the show yesterday, Hughes called him and said, you know, hey, I don't want to put a gag order on this, but, you know, tread lightly. It's like, tread lightly on what, ass? This is only the biggest story in America right now, and it's happening with our company, and it indirectly affects what we do on the radio.
Yes.
And what, we're not supposed to talk about it? If the guy worked for Clear Channel, we could yap about it all day long.
Well, I think that obviously we proved to him how that worked out.
And I'd say to Leslie Moonves, because I read his press release today, mm-hmm. You know, if you really mean what you said, and I don't think he did, but if he really meant what he said, and you really do want to start something to try to have a discussion, to try to look into music and culture and why people think the way that they do, hey, guess what? You own 800 radio stations.
That's handy.
You could do this on your own if you really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to Leslie Moonves now, who I'm sure does not know us from a hole in the
wall. Yeah, I mean, if this was a directive coming down from management, I mean, you know, it's just like changing a format on a radio station. You know, management can do whatever they want. They do it all the time. That's the way radio works. It's happened to you, right? I mean, you've had format
Absolutely.
Changes. You've had music changes. I have, too. It's just,
anyway,
you know, it's something that you, what I would do is, I don't consider this a defeat. I what I say is, you know, keep on it. And
yeah, it's disappointing for now.
Yeah, it is. It was very disappointing.
Because
it was very
really
disappointing because it was kind of, there was no real explanation. It was very curt, the response that we got on that. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when I read that, that's a nice way, I think, in an email of I pictured a bunch of people saying, oh, F that.
Yeah, right.
You know, and
well,
maybe
really, I would say to Sam, the general manager at WPGC, and to Donnie Simpson and to Tigger, I'm glad that the three of you feel that this issue has run its course and you want to move on. Because do me a favor, shoot me an email and maybe you can answer all the questions I had.
Right.
That I brought up yesterday about what we can say, what we can't say, what's offensive, why people say they say.
And it's two sides to this. I mean, I think, it was very much and is very much today on people's minds, but we have, you know, no one can argue. We've got a short attention span in this country, and this thing will be, it is already starting to fade away.
Right.
It is. It truly is.
Listen, it was the lead item this morning on all the newscasts, but it only got 30 seconds to play, and right away they moved to whatever. It was Anna Nicole has moved back up into the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're done with this. It's like everybody got the pound of flesh, and we see him going into the governor's mansion, and now he lost his job. And, well, okay, that's it. It's all fixed now.
Right.
It upset the governor so much that he got in a car wreck.
Right.
And meanwhile, this company, this pussyfied company that we work for, once again, you know, you would think after something like this happens, wouldn't you at the very least put out a directive to your guys and gals who are out there on the front lines right now saying, hey, listen, you know, like, for instance, nappy-headed hoes. Is that banned or not? Because that's something that everyone here is dancing around.
Well, you've had a guy fired in Pennsylvania for saying it, kind of replaying that and the way he replayed that. What I was saying yesterday when you were talking about you didn't want Imus to twist in the wind. You wanted them to make a decision. And really, and I got to give you there weren't a whole hell of a lot of people, especially in this business, that were calling it as you did on Monday that he was going to get axed.
I wasn't asking for it. I'm just saying
you kind of knew it.
It was going to happen. It was falling out that way.
And as I said yesterday, you know, I would have really appreciated some time and effort going into a more creative solution that could result in a positive. And it could happen.
Oh, leadership.
But what we like to do is we go
for the head of somebody. We tackle him, we get him, and then, and you know what's going to happen? He's going to resurface somewhere, and that's going to happen. And he's going to resurface without any modification to what he's done. And in fact, he might even be worse than he was before. And you're going to have that happen. And when they had an opportunity to maybe turn this into a positive,
right,
and do the type of thing that you propose that we do on this show, you know, Jesus, it was just this mob mentality, bam, go for his head, and now bye-bye. And now it is forgotten, and we haven't made one single lick of progress.
All the black people still feel like they did. All the white people still feel like they did.
With probably a little bit more hate.
Yeah,
on the part of the white people. I'm going to say this because that's what I feel.
Yeah.
You know, because I have a lot of black friends that I talked to that said to me, you know, two of the guys I was talking to last night didn't think he should have been fired.
Right.
And you know, but the, you know, the white people have this indignation right now. And
it's not good.
And there's just, as you said, you wanted to open up a dialogue. I hope we can do it at some point. Before I die, to get a better understanding, get my head around all this. You know, white people and black people.
The other thing that I did want to play was I finally listened to the entire segment with Imus using nappy-headed hose.
The original
and
ending segment.
I'm amazed when you hear this, why the guy did not defend himself in the way that I'm perceiving this now, and I'm not being an apologist for the guy. No. He's already been fired.
Right.
And I'm not talking about what the producer guy said after Imus made his comment. Listen to the thing now in context, and just bear with me for a second. Whether you think I'm off base or not, you can tell me.
Then I have a question after you play this, because I want to ask you something about this, too.
Okay, here we go.
So I watched the basketball game last night between a little bit of Rutgers and Tennessee, the women's final.
Yeah, Tennessee won last night, seventh championship for Pat Summitt. I, man, they beat Rutgers by 13 points.
That's some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and
some hardcore hoes.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there, I'm going to tell you that now.
Oh, man,
that's some... Ooh. And the girls from Tennessee, they all look cute, you know, so...
Now, if you stop it right there, all he's doing, now that I've heard it, is saying the girls on Tennessee are better looking than the girls for Rutgers.
Cute, yeah, right.
Granted, he said it in a crude way.
Right.
I don't know why the guy just didn't stand up from day one and say, listen, can I not comment if I think one group of females is cuter than another group?
Well, in his own way, he didn't specifically, defend himself that way. But he did.
No, I meant after the fact.
He did kind of poo-poo it, you know, the first day. It was like, hey, I didn't mean anything. We were kidding around.
But, I mean, how come that wouldn't come to your mind right away? If somebody challenges you on it, you say, wait a minute, hold on.
I think it was growing hair so fast that he couldn't have said anything. And now, Nate, I wanted to ask you about this. I don't know if you've heard this or not. Somebody said to me that Imus has a black engineer, and that he was perhaps playing to one of the studio engineers when he was doing this. I don't know whether that's true. I don't know whether anybody's heard that.
I don't know that either.
I heard it. I don't know. I have no idea because I didn't look at I heard the audio. I didn't look at the video of it, so I'm not sure what the deal is. But don't you agree that, I mean, no matter what he would have said, there's nothing he could say. There was not. Once this started, there was nothing he could say to defend himself.
I think if he would have gone back at the time, you know, it's 2020, it doesn't matter, you know, after the fact vision.
Hindsight,
but I think if you just want to go back and say, listen, you know, I'm sorry, I'm quoting a Spike Lee movie. I'm trying to throw something out of there from pop culture.
That's an interesting, I mean, if you mentioned that. He did say that.
You know, it's just he didn't articulate the fact. I said that the Rutgers girls looked tougher
girls. I think he said he was referencing a Spike Lee movie. You know, I think he mentioned that, and, you know, it didn't matter. It just didn't matter, and you know, and once the frenzy started, that's that. And really, here's the sad thing about it. We've said this. I'm repeating myself. The sad thing about this: frenzy's over. Bye, Iman. Off the radio now. What good comes out of this? Is there any progress? Nothing so far. Nothing. What have we done? What have we accomplished?
Nothing.
Other than having a lot of people angry at each other again, it sucks.
And you know, working for CBS, you know, you just got to wonder. You know what CBS stands for? Can't beat Sharpton. Seriously, can't beat Sharpton. I mean, once again, for the record, I'm sorry. We did this 1,000 times yesterday. He has said a million things worse than that over the last 10 years alone, and it has been well documented, and it gets played in the media.
You're talking about Imus. Not Sharpton. You're talking about Imus.
And this is something that for goodness sakes, everybody's known about. So that's why CBS is stupid and hypocritical.
See, people might tell you, though, that that's the reason that the final decision was made, because of the track record.
But, right. Hold on.
Because I've read other people that said that he didn't really have that big a track
record.
But
you and I both know that if that was true, that CBS would have started a file on him. We know how they work.
Did you hear the rumors about that have actually been written about, that there were a lot of people behind the scenes that weren't, that were in his little area up there at the radio station, and employees of CBS that contributed to this decision?
Oh, it was the same thing at NBC. Yeah. You know, they went around.
They're like,
they talked to the employer, all the employees at NBC as well. Said, we don't like women being treated like this.
Uh-huh. I mean, I think about Howard sometimes and the way he used to talk about IMS, because he had a personal. When he went over, NBC, is that where he went over to do the morning show? And they didn't like each other.
No.
I mean, and, it's no secret in the industry that Imus is a bit of a prickly kind of guy. But, who knows? I think there were, after you got by the publicity and the uproar over this, I think there were a lot of factors that may have contributed to this eventually happening, and not the least of which was, nobody – obviously, within the company, was standing up for the guy.
All right, so he's out, and everything's okay. Everything has gone back to the way it was.
All better.
2 weeks ago. Everybody, just pretend that it's 2 weeks ago, and all we really cared about is who was the dad of Anna Nicole Smith's baby.
Let's pretend. Yeah.
That's all. Because other than that, the races are getting along fantastic.
It's, incidentally, it's Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband.
It's the prince.
It's the prince.
It's a beautiful time. Is everybody happy?
Is everybody happy?
Everybody happy, huh?
And I hate to say it, but I'm not nearly as melancholy as I was yesterday.
And for the last time, I'll mention that we would like to have on our airwaves or on the airwaves of an urban station, we would like to have a discussion about race, specifically about broadcasting, about what is said on the radio, not only a spoken word, but also in music. And what's acceptable and what's not on both sides.
And I would urge, people, and I would say this if we ever got around to it, to really cut through all the, I think you hear a lot of people saying what they think they ought to say on both sides of this issue. And, I'd like to know the people that are sincere out there that really,
what they really feel
and what can be done. I mean, because I think that we still need to think about it. I feel like this country hasn't made the significant progress that we should, on this particular issue.
All right, let's see. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don, Mike, Buzz, how are you, gentlemen?
Howdy, what's up?
I'm the one who called in a couple of days ago and brought up the whole Russ Parr with the jokes that he makes about white people. You guys are moving in a great direction. And I believe if you guys get a hold of Steve Harvey, you guys familiar with him?
Yeah.
He's got a syndicated show, right?
Yeah.
Right, he has a 96.3. If you get a hold of him, I guarantee you probably will get something out of him, because he's the type of guy that would do something like
that. We're just going to put the word out there.
Yeah.
This is how we're doing it right now. I don't want to make a big deal about it, because then the next thing is that we get our asses called into the corporate offices where they say, how dare you talk about race and make a big deal about it. And what will probably happen is, if we do find someone willing to do this outrageous experiment with us,
right,
at that point CBS will come to us and say, hey, why can't you do this with the CBS station?
Right. Yeah, and then they'll put pressure on one of the O&Os. That's exactly what will happen with this situation.
That's how it works.
You know, and you're funny when you say, because it isn't outrageous, is it? This is a great idea, to do.
It's not outrageous at all.
This is actually quite inoffensive. This is actually,
what's wrong with saying,
little reality radio?
We are white guys. The majority of our audience is white,
which is the truth.
We'd like to find a black station where the majority of the audience is black, and do a little round robin simulcast. What the frig is wrong with that?
I don't think there's
nothing wrong with it. That's what radio's supposed to do: serve the public. Well, can't think of a better way to do it.
Hold on, Buzz. I know how that. Here's another way they'll handle it too. Right. You know what? That's a great idea. I tell you what. How about if we find a Sunday night at 11 o'clock?
When we can have
a roundtable discussion and we don't have to worry about FCC restrictions.
Or
when
listeners.
Amen, Buzz.
Well, that's where they jam it, folks. That's right. Where they jam all their programming that.
You do it in morning drive. You do it in afternoon drive. You do it when people are goddamn listening to the radio.
Yeah, and as I said, the logistics can be worked out. I hope it's something we can. I'm selfish about this. I hope for my own good we do this.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, I was wondering how you think this would play out if Imus would have played the actual clip from the Spike Lee movie. You think it would have had the same impact?
Probably nothing would have happened.
Probably never heard about it.
Probably nothing would have happened.
And to get back to this whole thing, I mean, because it was so blown out of proportion, the Imus comment, in the classic sense of the expression, was a throwaway comment.
Right.
Imus probably didn't even blink when he said that.
Didn't it think was about a, it. No,
well, which, you know, you can argue that's good or that's bad. Right. But I mean, it was when he said it, listening to the tape, to me, it sounds like it's just a throwaway. Mm-hmm. And he's also, you know, he didn't throw the, and I don't know whether he did this honorably or not. He didn't throw the other guy under the bus that was with him because he was playing off the instigator who said ho first.
Right. Yeah.
And he was responding to that. Reacting. You know, how, when you have that little give and take, which two
almost,
people in a broadcast studio
almost
do.
Trying to make it better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, in a weird way, he was almost trying to smooth it over.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Poor douchebag.
Make it better, maybe make it funnier. I'm not sure what was in his mind.
Ad, poor old idiot. Hello, Don and Mike show. Stupid
hey.
Idiot.
Stupid idiot, Bernard.
Hello, what's up?
This is James in Baltimore. I'm a government teacher in the greater Baltimore area.
Yeah.
And we do Current Event Friday in my government class, and INS was the topic. This class is it's mostly seniors, juniors and seniors in high school. It's a basic law class. It's an elective class. These are people that are interested in law and interested in debate like this.
What's your demographic? What's your demographic in your class?
Mostly the demographic of the school. I'd say about 35% black, 35% black, 65% white.
Okay. All right. So what happened?
Basically, not too much off the difference. Basically, it gave me hope for the future because these kids sounded more intelligent than anybody I've ever heard in my life talk about this stuff.
Sure.
The black kids were like, it really wasn't that offensive. You know? And the black kids were like, they were laughing about it. They thought it was a joke.
Let me stop you there for a second as well. I'm not going to make out like I've got 1,000 black friends. I don't. I have some acquaintances at work and people in the business who I know. But my next door neighbor is black. And get ready for this, Rob.
Okay, go ahead.
Married to a white woman. I know. Taboo.
It's
a water for Rob.
Anyway, last night, as a happenstance, when I got home, my neighbor was chatting up my gal pal. Uh-huh. They were talking in the front yard. And, of course, again, I'm sitting there in my car. I'm just dying to get inside and just release my bladder. Uh-huh. But I'm sitting there going, hey, so how's it going? Sam, what's up? He's like, you know, we should get together, blah, 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 blah. And then he said this whole thing with Ima. He said, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
He said, I'm a black man. I'm not terribly offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, where are – and then he said, everyone that he knows who's black, who he's talked about it, says not a really big deal. Didn't really care about it. I said, well,
that's been my perspective with the friends that I've talked to.
Then where's the firestorm starting from? And he had a take that it was started by white people.
The white devil.
Well, not the
white devil. White media?
Yeah. Yeah, he said it's the white media. Yeah.
Well, that's true.
That stirred it up.
Played it up.
I mean, it's obvious that the media is controlled by white people
in
this country.
Amplified it.
And that's the people that are putting things on the air.
And right there, that's a perfect example of the type of dialogue that really we should be having.
Mm-hmm.
You and I should be having on the show. If we really, really want to get to the bottom of this, and I only want to get to the bottom of it for selfish reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what you can do and what you can't do.
Right.
You know, and Jesus Christ. What's wrong with America? This is not like the Janet Jackson thing. This is a whole new area. I also heard, have you heard this, Mike? When they're coming out now and saying, there is a mean-spiritedness to America. And it even gets all the way down to American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
That Simon is mean to people. Somehow in our society, we are mean. And Imus is mean, and disc jockeys are mean, and we have to go back to being nice. Screw that. I mean, seriously, screw that.
Well, you know what? You know what I think about that? Eventually.
Have you not heard that?
But eventually that's going to happen.
Right.
This is the pendulum, man. This is the way it goes. This is the
no
this
way.
Is the entertainment.
I'm not being nice.
Well, no, not you. I'm talking about society as a whole. I'm saying the pendulum goes back and forth. It's what's in fashion, what's in vogue. You know, certain music is hot sometimes. Certain comedy is hot other times. I mean, it goes back and forth. It really goes back and forth.
Yeah, but when's the last time it swung back this far?
What do you mean?
Not in my lifetime.
You mean as far as
What they're saying now, in essence, is, and when I say they, I mean everybody I see on TV or I read online or in the newspaper. This is the honest thing is what's wrong with America.
Right.
That we're an angry nation. We spite at each other. We fight all the time. Geraldo fights on TV with Bill O'Reilly.
That's true.
People throw things at basketball games. Disc jockeys yell at people.
Right.
We should all be nice. You know, same thing.
Doesn't work that way, though. You can't wave a magic wand and say all of a sudden we're going to be a nice society. And if you read history, you might say, you know, we're moving in that direction that it's going to continue. It's going to continue to such an extent that we'll be like other great civilizations that, used to gather in coliseums and watch people get eaten by lions.
I'd say the same thing.
I don't think we're all that far away from it, frankly.
Say the same thing to all those idiots that say, you know, that you got to be PC on the radio. No, you don't. And you don't have to be nice. You don't have to be nice, and you can be edgy. Jesus Christ.
No, well, we've said all along, one of the nice things about this show, you know, people say, oh, you bash your callers. No, the fact is that we don't allow something that we believe, and everybody that's listening at the particular time believes, you know, is a moronic statement, mm-hmm. to go unchecked and unchallenged, and we don't let idiots, maintain and hog the airways. Well, you hear a lot of shows that might be labeled as nice, where you'll hear this blowhard just going on and on, and it drives me insane.
They suck.
If that's mean, then we're mean. We're mean.
I guarantee that.
Mean is funny sometimes.
We're going to have that. We are going to have the mean target on our back.
Yeah,
I think so.
Well, if they start legislating mean, we're screwed. We're next.
You're going to
get
prison.
Ready. Pack your bag.
Going up the river.
We're going up the river because if mean is targeted, you know, forget about
Check
it.
Check it out. Just do a Google search and just see how many news stories now.
Wouldn't that be funny that it gets to a point where you and I can only come in here and be mean to each other? Each and every day, it's just going to be back and forth. No callers, won't be able to do it to any callers or guests anymore.
I really saw a guy on MSNBC, which is, and their coverage makes me puke, to watch that tool David Gregory, who has been suckling on Imus's feeble teat for the last 10 years. They got this bastard sitting there selling him out, doing a two-hour special every single morning about...
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is about the... You know, Imus is.
Oh, was that on the air?
Imus has had a lot of people on his show that have.
It's Friday the 13th.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Deserted. I was trying to cover there. So were you, actually. Perfect. It's funny when you're choking to death and you're still trying to, you know, cover the air with that, you know, reaching around, hands flailing. You know, how are we now?
Fine.
Good.
Feeling good.
I was just going to interject.
Feeling strong.
That the people that are on Imus's show. You want to talk about rats fleeing the sinking ship.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not. I'm not aware of. Wait, maybe John McCain? Would that be it?
That's about it.
Schieffer. Bob Schieffer. Bob Schieffer has stood up.
Okay.
Wow. But I'm watching the coverage today, and I'm seeing a tool like David Gregory, who, if memory serves me right, less than 3 months ago was accused of being drunk when he was on the Imus show. He says he was not. This guy, I've heard this guy participate in all that stuff. To see this guy going, you know, we need a nicer America. We need an America with more civility. It's like, hey, asswipe, how come you didn't say that one of the 8,000 times you were on that guy's show?
He was drunk.
Yeah, nobody's going to challenge him when he's when he's on the show. It's funny because you watch this and you watch the people that are on it, and I think it's directly proportional to the human being, too.
So what David Gregory said before I started having my fit there in my throat,
yes.
was while he was talking about the niceness of America and while he's throwing Imus under the bus, he says, and it's all kind of perpetuated by what I like to call the American Idol effect. And I'm thinking, what the frig are you talking about?
Oh, he's going to label America. No, he's going to blame American Idol for it?
Because Simon Cowell has no regard for people's feelings.
Oh, my God.
It's been well documented this year by Rosie O'Donnell, many other people. They go out of their way to, it's the number one show in America and one of the most popular episodes where they denigrate and humiliate people. This is what's wrong. I'm David Gregory. I'm going to go get drunk now. I'll be right back. Really? The guy is doing a monologue this morning on MSNBC, and he's got Tom Brokaw on the telephone. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have Tom Brokaw.
He sounds just like Imus, you know.
And like Jesse Jackson.
That's exactly.
Tom Brokaw.
Wouldn't you think if you have the great Tom Brokaw, Wouldn't you like send a satellite truck to his house or something so that you wouldn't put up a slide of his publicity picture from 15 years ago?
There I need the good bathrobe. What are we going on with David Gregory? David Gregory. Tom Brokaw, NBC News.
And they're all dancing around the fact that, yes, this had to be done, and yes, we got to have a nicer society, and we got to be nice to everybody. And then they go through a period where both David Gregory and Tom Brokaw say, there's no place for the H word. There's no place for the B word. There's no place for the N-H-H word.
Right, the phrase.
And
wow, okay.
When they said NHH, I'm like,
wow.
My head's on a swivel going, what happened to the days when it was GDSMF?
Right.
CT. Those are the George Carlin ones,
right. Well,
are the ones that were in the Bible, the ones that we can all deal with,
do you really
that we all agree with.
Do you really think this is going to have legs? I don't. I think this is going to go away. I really don't think this is going to. Do you think you mentioned CBS having a policy. Do you think there's going to be any kind of policy?
Did things change after Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think things are going to change again.
All right, I don't think so.
Think so.
I think this thing is going away so quickly. And you know what? The fact is, most people that I hear about it I have not heard people saying, yeah, I was incredibly offended. I was delighted that he was fired. And I'm having frank discussions with people about this. And then, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, and another thing that my neighbor said to me last night, and again, because I don't know a lot of black people, I don't get this perspective. He said to me, we were talking about that big blowhard Al Sharpton, and he said, you got to understand one thing. From a black man's perspective, there's one guy's perspective. He said, Al Sharpton is not king of the blacks because of what happened with Tallulah.
Tawana Brawley.
With Tawana Brawley. Uh-huh. He lost any chance to be anything serious. Right. Way back then, so take him as he is, Jesse Jackson. As soon as he said Hymietown, he went from being the first black man to actually run for president to being the guy known as Hymietown.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, my neighbor said to me, what do you think, we are stupid? He said, do you think we black people are stupid?
Don't know that? Sure they do.
Both of these people have fallen off the pedestal. It's just they've got the loudest voices.
Well, and you really, I can't put myself in the minds of black people and how they're reacting. I can only go on what is said to me. And the majority of what I've heard is that, they don't accept Al Sharpton as a black leader. And that's what I've heard.
But he has a voice.
In the black community. He does have a voice. Look, and he has some power,
too. And like my neighbor was saying, and who gives him the voice? The Today Show.
The media. Mm-hmm.
The whitest show in the world. Please.
It is a feeding frenzy. We have to, we have our sacrificial lambs every now and then.
And then, let's see, what's this? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Howdy, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Don, Mike, Buzz, Joe, the whole gang.
Hi there.
I'm an African-American male, and I mean, it's a good direction that we're going in. And all I want to say is, about the whole Imus thing, he didn't say it out of hate. But he crossed the line, and I'm going to try to explain this.
Please do, because I'd like to hear it explained.
Okay, if you look back the way African Americans were portrayed in media in years past, there's been a certain stereotype associated with us. If you look back at the Stephen Fletcher movies, the Paul Robeson roles,
right.
The singing minstrel Negro, okay, and
all of Rob's favorites,
right.
And for him to when the first guy said he had them they were some rough looking hoes, okay.
Right.
If Don Imus would have agreed with it and chuckled, no problem. But when he took it to the nappy headed hoes, he hit a sensitive spot.
All right. So okay. you personally, you were offended by it.
All right. Then
I would know. You know what? It was not that I'm offended by it.
Okay.
But when you hear it and you actually, and as a black person, you can't help but to think about how we were portrayed in the past and how much harder we have to work to get out of the stereotype.
Okay. Well, then hold on for one second, and I'm not going to take the role of Don Imus. I'm going to take the role of me for a second and say, if I had said that and you were asking me about it, my response to you would be, I don't have a racist bone in my body. I swear to God. And all I'm doing is what Chris Rock would do. And I could picture Chris Rock getting on TV and going, "As some nappy-headed hoes," and the audience going crazy. So again, you got to explain to me why it's okay for Chris Rock to do it. And please don't say because he's black. Give me a better reason than that. If I'm saying it without malice in my heart, and if it's okay for Chris Rock to say it without malice in his heart,
right,
how come both people can't?
You know what? It's a problem. That is a problem in our community, okay? We have been berated so long that we think it's acceptable to berate ourselves and our fellow black people, and it's become normal for us to do it, but you can't do it. And
well, okay, great. Then how come no one in the black community has stood up and said just what you've said and said it publicly?
Well, I mean, really, in a way, Snoop Dogg said that in the quote that I read about him. He said that, yeah. He said, "We come from a different place."
No, but
that's what he was saying.
What I think you're saying also here, if I'm not misinterpreting what you're saying, is that even though you do it, it's not okay.
It's not okay.
Not okay with anybody.
I don't.
It's not perceived as okay, right?
See, but it was when Snoop said it. That particular quote.
No. What I was saying, you were asking this guy. He said the same thing that Snoop Dogg said in a different way. It's not okay for a white guy to say that. That's the perception in the black community that I've gotten, that I've read, that I've heard, and I understand that they said we can do it because we have been dealing with this crap for so long. Let me just
finish. But hold on. Did this guy not? I'm sorry, Mike, but did he not also say that in the black community, he doesn't think that it's right that they do it? He is acknowledging the fact.
Oh, okay.
That
I didn't hear that. All right.
Did you or did you not say that?
That's exactly right.
So you don't approve of it in the black community either.
I definitely.
And that's where I said, Mike, where are the people standing up screaming this? Where are black leaders standing up screaming this? Because if it's only white people screaming it, I wouldn't listen to it either. If I was a black person, I got a white person telling me how to live
my
life.
Right.
I wouldn't like that.
You know, and the African American community, I mean, sometimes I just want to scream out in rage because we pigeonholed ourselves into this certain stereotype. We fell for it, and it's basically a slave mentality that we have, okay?
Let me ask you this. When you talk about we've been berated and run down in the history of black Americans in this country for so long, which anybody that can read a history book would agree with. I mean, it's documented. It's been proven. The fact is, don't you feel that when black people kind of turned this on themselves, they were taking ownership of something that was hurtful as almost a defense mechanism?
So it couldn't hurt them anymore.
At one point in time, it may have been a defense mechanism, but now it seems like it's the status quo. It's like we've become, we literally become the stereotype, and it boggles my mind because I don't listen to rap music. I stopped after the 80s. The stuff that's out there now is misogynistic, it's violent, it's not conducive to a proper society if you actually listen to the lyrics, you know?
It's true.
And the real bad thing about it, it may be popular in the black community, but if it wasn't for white businessmen, white record executives making all this money off of it, it wouldn't be out there.
Hey, dude, I got to tell you one thing, though. The music is not just popular in the black community.
That's true.
I mean, I'm serious as cancer about this. I was on the telephone, and we got a break, on the telephone with my daughter couple of days ago, and her sister was on the phone. Her sister was 15.
Right.
And literally was in the background singing something like, you know, "I ain't your bitch. You know, I ain't your—" I didn't think anything about it.
Right.
I mean, I've seen it. My grandkids, I've been around when they watch, like, Mike Jones' video. Now, I don't know what the hell Mike Jones says. I just know that it's funny that his name is Mike Jones.
Yeah.
But, like, out of all the rap names in the world, there's a dude who's—and one of his songs is just called "This is Mike Jones," or "My name is Mike Jones." And my 3-year-old grandson gets in front of the TV and flexes and dances. And to him, it's just current popular music.
Right.
Right? He's a 3-year-old kid.
Right.
You know what?
I don't know what the point was. Sorry.
you know, I just had to get that out there. It's like I say, Imus, it wasn't racial. He hit a real sensitive part in the black community. And I mean, I know you guys have a radio show to do, and I don't want to hog up the time, but there's a plethora of things to look at. I mean, it's a lot in the black community too, because contrary to popular belief, the mention of Spike Lee's movie School Days about the Jigaboos and the Wannabes, there is literally a war, and it's gotten a lot better, but there's literally a war in the black community between fair-skinned black people and darker-skinned black
people.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That was the whole point
right.
of School Days. That was the whole yeah. point of it, them calling each other Jigaboos and Wannabes.
And that's been in black society for years, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it has. And, I mean, to have him say nappy-headed hoes, it just brings all that flood of emotion back.
Okay.
You know, I'm not offended by it, but I'm not offended, but you do get angry a little bit, like what? Oh, what are you gonna say?
And that you said what I've heard from a lot of people. You said it right there. I'm not really that offended, but it does tweak me a little bit. Does
right.
make me a little bit mad. And I think that a lot. I mean, I'm getting that from a lot of people that I know.
You know,
in the black
community. Comedy is comedy. Don't get me wrong. If you listen to Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Gallagher, comedy is comedy.
Gallagher.
Okay. Up Gallagher.
Wow.
Here's one for you very quickly. And I know everybody's saying we got a break. I love quoting movies, and everybody does. For instance, there's a great scene in Pulp Fiction, you know, where Sam Jackson calls Mr. Wallace. Wolf.
Marsalis.
Negro, that's all you had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't tell you how many times in real life I have said that to someone, and they know I'm talking about
quoting the movie
Pulp Fiction.
Right.
It's a way of saying, hey, you stupid MF-er, I got it under control.
Right, right.
Don't worry about it. But in today's context that we're talking about right here, right now, a white guy could not, unless you were having a discussion about this, if we were just going back and forth, they couldn't say, yeah, Negro, that's what I wanted here.
Let me give you a clue. It's all in how you say it. When Chappelle says it, it's the way. When Chappelle says it, when Chris Rock says it, it's not meant to berate. It's funny. I mean, you don't expect to hear the word. It's one of those taboo words.
But why can't a white guy do the same thing? If you're
in mixed company, you know, and you let it fly, and it's not meant to be hateful, okay? I don't know if I can say the N-word on your hair, you know, but if you just say, oh, look at that dumb nigger right there, okay?
Right, that's hateful. Hateful. I agree. That is hateful.
That's hateful.
That's hateful. Where if you say, oh, nigga, please, okay?
But even that, really,
see,
I mean, it's a different set of standards, I think. It really is.
That whole thing
right.
with A and R on the end of that word, we got into that the other day, too. That's
yeah.
a weird
right. word. Right, you know, it's in the context of how you say it.
All right, listen, we got a break. Thank
you.
Thanks for the call.
This is great.
We do
got
a break.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
That's a really, I think that's a pretty good explanation from what I heard from a lot of people. Where, no, was I totally offended? No. Did it tweak me a little? You know, and really, and I heard this too, you know, that effing old man. You know, yeah. saying that. And that's really the way people... You look at the guy, you hear the
stupid
guy.
Stupid old white guy in his
you
cowboy
see,
hat.
He couldn't be any more of the old white... I mean, right. he comes across... You could cast him as the Southern Sheriff.
Cowboy hat for
you
crying
really
out loud.
You really could.
Yeah, like 1 foot in the grave. Who takes him seriously?
He comes
well, obviously
across,
America does.
Don?
Yeah.
I think he comes across as the Uber cracker. I truly do.
Are you sorry?
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that.
Hey, you know, the governor got in a car wreck on his way to watch you do your mea culpa last night.
Stupid idiot. What a pinhead. What an absolute pinhead. I don't understand. I was going to meet with those girls, and he was supposed to be there, and, you know, apparently he's got a bad state police officer driver that, you know, took him off the road. I certainly hope he recovers from his broken ribs and his broken leg. Stupid idiot.
And you know, the double standard, even when I'm reading today in the gossip column in the Washington Post, the reliable source, they write something in there today about how Imus was fired, but his wife is going to do the radiothon today.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, his wife, who I guess cares about environmental issues, and he calls her on the air the Green Hoe. And they write in the paper, he calls him the Green Hoe. And then it says in parentheses, even though that's not okay to say. It's like, yeah. Hold on. Make up your friggin' mind. Is it okay to say, if you say it in a cute little way and you put parentheses about it and it's in a little thing called the reliable source?
Yeah, the reliable source in the Washington Post. Wonderful column if you're, you know, if you want reliable sources as to what kind of effing finger sandwiches they're having at the latest rich person's
That's
do.
What they
Kiss
do.
My chest.
Oh,
ass.
God, I hate
I'm
that.
I'm serious. My ass is killing me. We'll be right back.
Wow. This is the Don and Mike Show.